Send peace, love, and joy to your loved ones this season with a minted photo holiday card designed by an independent artist. Use code PODCAST for 20% off your order.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part, speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. If you want to get in touch with me, you can do so right now. TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. Last week on the show, John Riley of TheEffect.net was here giving a broad overview of the PS5 Pro. He was sitting by the window waiting for the arrival of his console, and he is back with me now to give his review. John, how are you?
Great, Jess. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So as I said there last week when we spoke, you were sitting by your window waiting for the delivery to arrive. I assume it's arrived.
It has, yes. And I've been playing with it now for the guts of the last week, if not a bit more. So yeah, lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. I have to say, and you're the same, like I've been doing this job for quite a while now. I don't think there's anything as exciting as unboxing a new console. I very much enjoyed unboxing this one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those like Christmas come early moments. You know, there might be listeners that are going to get this off Santa for Christmas and they're going to be just as excited. It's one of those things. They only come around every couple of years that you get a brand new piece of tech from the big gaming companies. And yeah, with PlayStation, it's never really a dull moment. So ironically, you say that, though, I'm excited to open any new tech and take it out of its packaging. But they actually got a bit of a backlash because the packaging, in inverted commas, wasn't impressive enough or wasn't what would you call it? Expensive looking enough, which is totally ridiculous because you're not buying it for the packaging. But that's by the by. I still was happy to whip it out and replace my PS4 like an unwanted child with this new Pro model. So yeah, it was great to get it all set up and working again. It was pretty seamless too, actually. You can connect both of them to the same network in your house, plug them into the Wi-Fi, and then with the new one on your TV screen, you can ask it to talk to the other one and it'll pull all your content over, which is really handy.
Yeah, again, similar experience. I didn't even notice the packaging, to be honest. People have nothing else to be going on about. What did strike me was the slimmer design. Like, as I remember joking with you a few years ago when the PS5 came out, that it looked like one of the Virgin Media routers. Like, it just looked like a mobile router. The design of this, while it's not a million miles away from the PS5, the slimline body, it's a nice piece of kit.
Yeah, it's a lot more slender. Like, I think when the PS5 came out in 2020, it was the largest console that ever kind of graced the earth. It was just obnoxiously big. And it was to help with keeping it cool and to keep it, to make it stand out and all that jazz. But yeah, now that we're 4 years on, PlayStation or Sony have learned how to streamline some of the internal tech, but also still deliver that extra power. So yeah, it's a bit more slender, a bit more sleek, still looks a bit kind of futuristic with its kind of dual color palette, the white and the black, and then these now kind of aggressive looking speed lines or grills on the side, which actually do play a part in kind of letting more air get into the internals of the device to keep it cool. So they're not just for show, but they do look quite boy racery. But again, that's by the by. It's only, you know, not really looking at the console when you're playing it, so it still looks pretty futuristic and I kind of lives up to its Pro moniker.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, when it comes, like, one of the things that does matter to me is that I don't want stuff in my house that takes up a huge amount of space. And so I know it sounds ridiculous, but the neater body does make a difference when it's on the console table beside the TV. So for me, I was happy out with the design. But let's talk about the performance, because as you outlined last week, the whole point of this console was to oomph up the insides that little bit more. This is not a console for everybody. But you mentioned there about the setup and so on. Did you notice the extra impact when you were in that setup phase?
Actually, just going back quickly to the just the overall shape and format, or the size of it, I think we have to flag, unfortunately, that, well, not unfortunately, but the way that this device comes, it's a purely digital console. So it's probably one of the first times ever a new console has come out from Sony that it actually doesn't come with a disc drive. So if you're a gamer, you have all your content on physical CDs, this more slender PS4 Pro model is more slender purely because it doesn't have a disc tray built in. So you can buy it... a standalone one that you can pop on to the side of this new device, but they're kind of few and far between, unfortunately. The demand is higher than the stock that's available from what I've seen in my research. So that's just something for your listeners to be aware of, that it is purely a digital console, and you might have to do a bit of sleuthing, a bit of hunting down for that disc drive. But going back to your question, in terms of the extra kind of grunt or processing power, is that what you're saying, in terms of how it kind of delivers on what it's trying to achieve? Yeah, like there's stats I could rhyme off to you guys or to your listeners and to yourself that kind of will fall between, you know, fly over a lot of your, you know, even my head. There's these percentages that say it's 45% more powerful or 60% more compute units, or again, I don't even really know them off the top of my head because they're kind of somewhat irrelevant when you just want your games to look that bit better, that bit more impressively visually impressive. And when it comes to console gaming, I was always a console gamer. I was never going to venture into the land of PC, like I said last week, because once you start down that path, I just would be addicted to buying the latest graphics cards costing upwards of €1,000 every year in Nvidia, or say AMD bring out their graphics cards. So with a console, you get what you get. You take it out of the box, it's the most powerful PS5 that they've ever made, or the most powerful home console you can buy right now. You plug it in, you put your games, you download your games and put them into your disk drive if you manage to get one, and you get, that's your, you're not tinkering with too many settings. It's very, very user friendly, and that is exactly why I love console gaming. And so this console is literally made for people like me that want the best of the best but don't want to go into the messing and the hassle of PC gaming and tweaking graphical settings. So I'm a happy camper, but each to their own as well. It's definitely going to be a niche product for a niche audience.
Okay, so let's talk about it, because when we unboxed the PS5, and look, I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to keep referring back to the PS5, but I remember you and I being struck by the little demo game that came on the PS5. I think it was it Astros or something like that, the little robot Astros dude? That's the one. We were struck because, although it was just a demo game, it gave a really good insight into what the console can do in terms of the graphics, in terms of the haptic feedback on the controller, a few different elements. We both, I think, said that was a bit of a wow moment, you know, just a few minutes into setting up the console. Did you have a similar wow moment, or is that wow moment just not going to happen because, you know, this is an upgrade and it's slightly different and in certain gaming scenarios?
Yeah, no, it's not going to be as wow moment-esque as what people experienced when they unboxed the PS5 first back in 2020, and if they were lucky enough to get one because they were so hard to come by. But this time around, even kind of the visuals and the images that kind of float across the screen, and kind of the buttons, or the shape of the kind of the representation of the console when it says press this button and tap this or whatever, it's still using the PS5 as a mock-up, if that makes sense. So they haven't necessarily, again, this is a first world problem, this doesn't make any difference, but they haven't updated the user interface on this new console to represent the new console's form factor. So it really, really is, it itself thinks it's a PS5 when it comes to the kind of user experience, albeit a more powerful one. That might be a bit kind of a convoluted way of saying it, but you're not getting anything bespoke in terms of experiences when you kind of boot it up saying, welcome to your new PS5 Pro. Well, there is like this custom, what would you call it, live wallpaper that sits in the background. It's like a pulsating graphics chip kind of shooting off these kind of visual representations of data and visuals. So that's a little nod to people that were looking, you know, that decided to go for the Pro device. But otherwise, it's very kind of par for the course. If you've set up a PS5, you're going to have the exact same experience of setting up a PS5 Pro, basically.
Okay, so at what stage then do we feel and see the impact of the new console?
Yeah, so it's really going to kick in when you have some of those first-party titles, which a vast majority of Sony's own first-party titles, be it Spider-Man 2, be it Ratchet & Clank, be it Gran Turismo, when they have been patched, which a lot of them have, as we spoke about last week, this patch then is downloaded in the background. You update your game, whatever it is, if it's Ratchet and Clank, and then you jump into that title. You see then in the visual settings, there's there's new options that your gamers can choose from. There's Performance Pro, or there would be Fidelity Pro. Now, that's where it's kind of, I wish there was a bit more continuity across the titles, because some of them call it Pro RT or RT Perform. And again, the terminology is kind of swapped out around or played around with, so there's not consistency there. But when you turn on Ratchet & Clank, you switch over to the Performance Pro setting. Now you're getting full 4K visuals, 60 frames per second, ray tracing graphics. You are getting kind of something that just the original PS5 simply couldn't do. It just did not have the power to give you this clarity at this frame rate with the ray tracing reflections and shadows and whatever else you're having in titles such as Ratchet & Clank, Spider-Man, and the other first-party titles. So each game that was patched did it in its own unique way. So they focus on different areas. One of my favorite franchises is The Last of Us. Your listeners might be aware of it from the famous HBO series, which kind of blew up in popularity. This is that zombie horror game or zombie action adventure game. That's a title, for example, that doesn't support ray tracing. So what they did was really just pushed the visual quality or the fidelity of the actual image, and then the frame rate got a lovely boost too. So you could even play it at unlocked frame rate. So you're going over 60 frames per second. You're hitting maybe 80 frames per second on a TV that can support that. TVs that can, you know, those modern day more advanced kind of 4K tellies will let you do 120 frames per second at 4K. So all these things, again, it's for a niche audience like myself that want the best visual clarity possible. The PS5 Pro is able to do that.
Okay, I'm not going to lie to you, John. That sounded like a lot of stuff. And I mean, when you're sitting down, and like if you and I were to sit down side by side, right, and if I had the PS5 on one TV and then you sitting next to me had the PS5 Pro on another TV, would a third party human being watching notice the difference?
More than likely they wouldn't. And it maybe if you were playing a game on your PS5 at 30 frames per second and I was sitting beside you playing it at 60 frames per second because my PS5 Pro can let me do that, the person would go, well, John's screen looks much smoother because he's moving around there, he's running around, jumping around as Spider-Man, and it looks more visually impressive because it's twice the frame rate. And again, that kind of, you know, people might just switch off when they hear that, but when you see it in real life and you see the comparison between 30 frames and 60 frames, you're getting a way more immersive experience, a way more interactive, responsive as well. If you're playing these kind of more fast response time titles like Call of Duty, you need the 60 frames per second to be able to react to your competitors and the other gamers to be able to kind of get, you know, to win that fight or win that battle, whatever it may be. So, but that's, again, if they're side by side, this console isn't for someone that is more than happy with their PS5. If they're a casual gamer, they like to just come home, switch off their brain for a bit, pop it on their bedroom TV, play a couple hours or whatever their favorite game is, and go to bed or whatever it may be. This is for the kind of the more avid gamer that really wants the best visual clarity, fidelity, and just to kind of have the peace of mind or the smugness even to know they are playing this title the best it's ever been on a console game, basically. It's really, as I said last week, again, it's to keep PlayStation and Sony's console in competition with PC gamers so that they're not feeling like they're missing out and they might jump ship and start to build their own home gaming PC, and then they lose that member of the potential audience to the PC race, basically.
Yeah, and look, I think it goes without saying that I am not in that cohort of people. So although my brain may not be able to comprehend it, I know that there are people out there listening now, nodding along, going, yeah, I know exactly what John's on about. You mentioned some of the titles. Is there one title that you think is going to be the flagship one for this console with the titles that have been patched?
Yeah, I think Spider-Man 2. See, that's not the problem, but this is obviously a brand new console. They have patched older titles that have already launched. Like I said, Spider-Man, Ratchet & Clank, Gran Turismo, Horizon titles. These games are out. So they don't necessarily have a flagship title to kind of showcase as a new entry into any of their kind of famous IP. So that's a small bit of a missed opportunity. So yes, you're able to go back and play these titles if you've kind of finished them already and play them at higher visual fidelity. And for me, Spider-Man 2 just looks fantastic when you're running at over 60 frames per second, swinging through a virtual New York City, and it's just that bit more immersive. We keep using that term, but that's what this is all about, is to give you that visual experience or that gaming experience that makes you feel like you're in the world of Spider-Man. And yeah, that along with, say, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, as I've said last week, looks like a playable Pixar movie, like, and now on the new Pro model, it really is like you're interacting in a high budget 3D children's or, you know, animated movie, but it's an actual game that you're playing on this new console. So both of those really do pop when you're playing them on this console.
The other area that we should probably talk about, given the use of the word immersive, is the PSVR, the PSVR 2. Is that compatible, and are there titles that are playable on the Pro version with the VR headset?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's fully compatible. Again, like the PS5, very, very easy to set up and plug in via one of the USB Type-C ports on the front. It's one thing that they have commented on, Sony, to say that their upscaling technology, their AI upscaling technology called PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution, or PSSR, which is slightly more digestible, is something that will be rolled out in a future update to really optimize VR titles in particular. But there is a number of ones. We mentioned it when the PSVR 2 came out originally, the kayaking title, the VR Mirage kayaking. I don't know if you got a chance to play that one, where you're basically in your VR headset kayaking down these like photorealistic canyons. And that one was one that kind of came out of the gates to say, look, I know there's not many other titles that VR titles on the PSVR 2 that are supporting this new console, but we are one of them. So I've tried that out for a couple of minutes, and it just looks even more sensational. That's a showpiece title, if ever there was, even for the PSVR 2 in general, but now running on the new Pro model, that's knockout. So I really hope they'll go back, Sony, and update their Horizon title, Call of the Mountain, which was a huge budget first-party title to really sell the PSVR 2, but actually hasn't been patched yet. So it's kind of, people are kind of going, come on, guys, you got to support your hardware, support your accessories, your PSVR 2, patch these games so we can, you can entice people to pick up the new Pro model and get the best visual experience on your VR headset.
Right. I know that you've got your full review up on theeffect.net. So what's your bottom line key takeaway here? Because this is an expensive console. It's a massive upgrade in terms of the internals and capabilities and all the rest. Bottom line, is it worth the money, and who is it for?
It's totally subjective about how, if it's worth the money for people. I think people that care about having the best visual experience for console gaming, this is the one to go for, because Xbox aren't bringing any sort of, from what we've heard, they are not coming to the console race with an upgraded Xbox Series X console or any sort of Xbox Series console. So if you want to play console title games, Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming out next year. That is going to be enormous when that launches. And people are assuming and predicting that it's going to look, and it's only coming to consoles, it's not even coming to PC when it launches initially. So the PS5 Pro will play the brand new Grand Theft Auto game, assumedly the best will play the new Grand Theft Auto the best. But look, as I said last week, we're at the point of diminishing returns, where visuals were already sensational on the original PS5. This one just pumps them up that bit more for people that want that opportunity to show their games or see their games in the best way possible. But I understand it's going to be a niche. It's going to be niche offering for those diehard gamers, really.
Great stuff. John Riley, as always, thanks so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thanks, Jess.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Shipped in time for the holidays. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.